Gospel of Luke according to the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. I don't know how many of you have experienced this, but on any given weekday here at Christ the King, the late afternoons and evenings throughout most of the year, the place is filled with the sounds of kids walking around, talking with their siblings or parents, shouting and goofing around occasionally, but mostly singing songs, playing instruments, building new skills. You see, the basement classrooms here at CTK are home to Anthem Academy of Music, a music school run by Jeremy Hinneker, who most of you know as our occasional guitar player on Sunday mornings. Anthem Academy teaches private lessons in voice, piano, guitar, and many other instruments, and has been doing so right here for the last several years. It's a joyous thing to watch the kids walking in with their bags of music or their guitar or ukulele or violin, ready to participate in this new skill building. After a long time of talking about it and planning to do it, and talking about planning to do it, this past week, Emily and I finally signed up our kids for piano lessons. They start next week. And as we were talking to them about lessons, and we're not bringing them to Anthem, unfortunately, we're bringing them to a similar school closer to our house in St. Paul. But as we were talking to them about starting piano lessons next week, there was, as you might suspect, a measure of excitement and a measure of resistance or trepidation. Naturally, we encouraged the excitement and tried our best to explain that in spite of the trepidation or resistance, we would be taking these lessons because, well, that is simply what we do. Now, as you may have noticed, music has played and continues to play a pretty important role in our lives as a family. We explained to the kids that each of us had taken piano lessons, and so had all their aunts and uncles, that their grandparents, and that even their great-grandma Mimi used to teach piano lessons. We told them that learning to play the piano was simply something that we do in this family. That it was an important and valuable thing to learn. Now, for many years as a child, I went downtown Minneapolis to McPhail Center for Music. Not the new cool building, but the old rickety building on LaSalle, where I would sit in the passenger side as my dad drove us downtown to LaSalle, where I would have my piano lessons and violin lessons at McPhail. Rain or shine, busy or not busy, we did it every week. And that experience taught me a lot of things. It fostered in me a love of jazz simply by listening to KBEM 88.5 FM on the way to my piano lesson. It also fostered a deep love of riding in the car with my dad, who is a pretty good driver most of the time, right? But he's a driver that I've grown to be very comfortable with, let's put it that way. It's also where I learned how to love to take a nap in a moving vehicle, which, you know, has its benefits and its deficits too. How many of you here today took piano lessons or learned to play another instrument as a child? Right. Almost everybody in the room. Right? How many, and be aware that my children may or may not be watching and listening to you right now, how many of you are glad that your parents that you took those lessons as a child? Okay? Quite a few, right? Now, how many of you would consider yourselves or call yourselves musicians today? The number got a bit lower, didn't it? There are a handful of you who do, and most of you who, you know, wouldn't brave to say that. In our gospel text this morning, we find the apostles asking Jesus to increase their faith, to empower them to further to do the work of ministry that they have been called to do. And by way of Jesus' response, they understand, and we understand, hopefully, that it isn't about the size or strength of our faith, but how we choose to live it out. We gather here together each Sunday and some on Wednesday nights, to confess our brokenness, to receive forgiveness for that brokenness, to pray and to study together, to sing songs of our faith, and to recite creeds that testify to our beliefs. We come together each week to learn, to grow, and to be community together. But that isn't all. You see, our time together in worship is an awful lot like a piano lesson. It is only the beginning of our week. It is the time where we establish the foundation of the work that lies ahead. After all, what is the age-old chorus, the oft-repeated phrase all of us dutiful students of music heard over and over and over again? Practice, practice, practice. How many of you were good at practicing? Not a hand. Maybe one or two. I was terrible at it. Still am. Our faith is not simply a faith of ideas and ideals. Our faith isn't simply something that we honor once a week. This, yes, is a place to come for growth, for deepening, for solidarity and support. But this is also a place where we come each week to be fed. Not simply so that we might feel sated or satisfied, but so that we may be strengthened for the week ahead. A week that will contain trials and tribulations, joys and celebrations, challenges and disappointments, distractions aplenty, calls for comfort, and calls to action. We are fed here each week with the body of Christ so that we may be strengthened to be that body for the world. A few years ago when I was ordained here at Christ the King, and even just a few weeks ago we did it again, there was a part of the service where I and another person moved from place to place throughout the sanctuary. It's written in the ELW. It's a part of our practice, our tradition, when we call and ordain a minister of word and sacrament to the church. We moved from the altar to the baptismal font, to the pulpit, to remind us of what we are called to do, and to remind the people of what they have called a minister to do, to preside at the sacraments, to baptize and form disciples, to preach the word from the pulpit. Now, those are the three stations listed in the ELW. And as I was preparing for my ordination service, my Uncle John, a pastor, assistant to the bishop at the Minneapolis Area Synod, and who did my kids' sermon, in fact, on my ordination day, said to me, "Don't forget about the door." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Don't forget about the door. We go from the altar, we talk about the sacraments, that's good. We go to the font, we talk about raising up disciples and baptizing, also very good. We talk about the pulpit, a place to proclaim the good news to the people. That is also very good. But don't forget about the door. Worship is meant to equip us to go out into the world, to live out our faith outside the walls of this church. And part of your responsibility as a minister of word in sacrament is to send the people out and partner with them in the ways they live out their faith in the community, in the world. Don't forget about the door. Earlier, when I asked you to raise your hands, if you considered yourself a musician because you took lessons in your youth, hardly any of you raised your hands. And that makes sense. That's okay. Being a musician, as I'm sure you recognize, isn't simply about training, about classes you once took. Being a musician isn't simply about a sense of identity, a name that we call ourselves either. Being a musician is about being in the practice of playing music. Tina just talked about the beauty of sharing our blessings. Well, as a kid who was taking piano lessons, right? Every year when we would have Christmas celebrations with my grandparents, we were invited, cajoled, pushed, voluntold, as the phrase goes, to show our abilities on the piano, to play a song on the guitar or the violin for our grandparents and aunts and uncles and whoever else was there for Christmas. And to be sure, the precedent had been set. Every Christmas, as far as I can remember, my mother, not a musician, but a physician, right, also plays the violin. And every Christmas, since I can remember, she has been asked by my dad or by the church they belong to play violin for worship, to share of this blessing that she has. Being a musician isn't simply about training, like I said, but about the practice of playing music, about sharing that gift with those, that blessing. Just so, being a Christian isn't simply about having been baptized or confirmed. It isn't simply about the things that we say, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, those beliefs that we say out loud. It isn't simply about those things that we say or those songs that we sing or that place that we go to once or maybe twice a week. Being a Christian is in the practice. It is about what we do. I invite you to pray with me. Holy God, we know how to say the words. We know how to hold those beliefs. We know how to hear the prophet Habakkuk. We know how to sing the songs of David. We know how to identify our faith as a trust in you. Let us also remember that our faith is a life that you call us into, a practice that you encourage us to engage in. Holy God, strengthen and deepen our faith, yes, here on Sunday morning. But keep our faith active each and every day of the week. Let your word live in us. Let your will guide our ways. And let your work be ours to do with you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.